Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to learn how to create an HTTP filter in ASP.NET. First thing we need to do to create a filter is to create a class that implements the iHTTP module interface. So we'll go up here and add a new project to our solution. And we're going to create this in Visual Basic, and we'll make a class library project. And let's call this HTTP filter VB. Creating this, as I said, in VB, we could easily create it in C sharp. So let's call our class HTTP filter. So we'll just rename that here. And there we go. Now we need to have a reference to the system.web namespace, so let's add a reference here because that won't be in our project by default. There we go. Okay, let's go down here to system.web and we'll add a reference for that. Let's just show all files here and check out our references. There we go. Okay. So now we're all set to start implementing our class, and as I said, it needs to implement the iHTTP module interface. Let's put that in. Okay, now and make it our life easier here, we're going to add a few imports to our class. So we don't have to type the fully qualified namespace. Put system in here. Let's put system.web. And let's put system.diagnostics. And while we're at it, let's define a namespace here. And let's call it HDI for how do I. And let's close that off here. All right. So we need to implement two methods for the iHTTP module interface. That's why we're getting our little squiggly line here. So we'll just put the cursor at the end of that, hit enter, and we get the dispose and init interfaces that we need to implement. So the init event or method is called when the application, in this case the web application, is initialized, and the dispose event is called when it shuts down. So what we're going to do here in our sample is write out some information to a text file at various points in the filtering process to show how you would capture information, and at least one way that you can write it out. Obviously, there'd be a lot of options for writing out information if that's what you want to do. So let me set up a couple private variables here. And the first one I'm going to set up is a name for the file where we're going to store things. Then I'm going to set up a file writer, instance of a stream writer actually. And that's how we're going to write our information out. And so this would be a system.io.streamWriter. Then we want to store the context variable information, which comes inbound to the init method down below. So let's make a private variable, and we'll call this application context. And that is going to be an instance of HTTP application. So that'll get us started here. Now let's go down to the init method and add a few things in here. And the first thing I want to do is create a file name so that we have some place to store the information. And for the demo, what we're going to do is take that file name variable, and we are going to take the application context coming in here. Take the context object that is contained within the application and the request, inbound request, and we'll take the physical application path so it puts it in the folder where our application is running. And let's just call this HTTP filter.txt. Then, as I said, there's a couple other things that we want to store. So the next thing that we'll do here is take that module-wide application context variable, and in that we will store the inbound application context passed to the init method. And that looks good for starters. Okay, let's write out the first information to our file here in the init method. So to do that, we need to set up our file writer that we created up above. So that's a new system.io.streamwriter. And here we need to pass the file name that we have stored in the module variable. And we will put true to indicate that we want it opened in the append mode. So what do we want to write? Let's write out here, write line, and we'll just write the current date time now to string, and this is just going to be a timestamp as to when we write the different things out, and we'll put the hours, minutes, seconds, and we'll put some fractions of a second because this will be going through pretty quickly. All right, and then let's just write a brief message that says init, so we know that it was in this part of the program at this point in time, and we'll just flush out the contents of the writer. And for this demo, we're going to close the writer here. So let's do the same sort of thing up. We have one little typo here. Let's just correct that. There we go. So we want to do the same sort of thing up in the dispose method. So we'll copy this here and put this up here so that we know when we're in the dispose method. And we'll just change init to dispose. So at this point, all we've done is write out some information to a text file for the initialization and the dispose of the application. Obviously, you could do a lot more here instead of just writing out to a file whatever operations you want to do. So there's a variety of events that indicate different points in the processing where you can intervene. And I put those here in a Word document for us to take a look at. And this Word document is included in the sample code download, so you can look at this, and they're also available in the online documentation in MSDN. But as you can see here, there's a number of points in the processing in which you can intervene. And what we're going to do is implement one of these as an example of how you would implement all the rest of them. We're going to do a begin request event. One thing to note before we leave this and go back to Visual Studio is that this list here indicates the order in which these events are fired, so that if you want to intervene at a particular process or do things in a certain sequence, you need to consider the sequence in which the events are fired. So we'll go back over to Visual Studio now, and let's implement the begin request event. So in order to do that, the first thing we're going to need to do is we're going to go up here to our module-wide variables, and we need to add another one, which will be an event handler for the begin request event. So we'll add that, and we'll call it the begin request event handler, and that is going to be of type event handler. And we need to add that event handler down here when the application initializes. So we'll do that right down here. And we need to add handler. And then we want to add that to the application context, begin request event. And here you can see the list of events that we just saw in the Word document. And this will be implemented to map to an on begin request event handler, which we're going to add momentarily here. So now we need to go down and create that event handler down here and add a protected sub called onBeginRequest. And that's going to accept a sender as object, and the event args as event args. So this event handler will fire at the beginning of any request to our website. So there's one more little bit of cleanup that we should do with respect to this event handler, and we'll do that up here in our dispose method. And what we'll do here is that we will remove the handler, and that's application context begin request, and we are removing the begin request event handler. And then we will just set that event handler that we just removed equal nothing. So now let's write some information out to our file every time that begin request event fires. So we'll take our code here, while we're writing out the file, we'll put it down here in our begin request event, and we will just write out here on begin request. Since this event fires every time a request starts, let's add a little more information that we're writing out to our file here. And let's take that application context and let's go to the request object again, and let's take the user agent information, write that out, and let's write out a couple more pieces here. And we'll write out the user host address. And lastly, let's write out the, what do we write out? Let's take the URL to string and write that out. So that's good. Now we should be all set here to test out our HTTP filter. We have some information being written out when we initialize and dispose of the application as well as with the request. So let's go over and see how we install this filter and use it in a website. In order to install and test our filter, the first thing we need to do is compile the assembly. So let's do that. And everything looks good there. Now we need to add a sample website where we can install and test the filter. So we'll add a new website, just an ASP.NET website, and we'll call it website VB. And then the first thing that we'll need to do in the website is add a reference to our assembly that contains our HTTP module. So we'll add the reference. In this case, we'll just reference the class library project in our solution. Then we need to go to the web.config file and actually install the HTTP module. To do that, we add an element to the HTTP module section. And we need to add the fully qualified class name, and that is HTTP filter VB, and the namespace was HDI, and the class name is HTTP filter. We need to give it a unique identifying name, which we'll call it test HTTP filter. Then what we're going to do is go over to our default ASPX page and just add a little text. We don't need to have text in order for the module or the filter to function, but this will let us know that the page has fully loaded, so we'll just call it testing HTTP filter. And then in order to see what's happening at different points, we'll set a few breakpoints over here in our class at the beginning of each of the methods. And that will allow us to see when we hit those different points in the application. And I'm going to run this in Firefox rather than IE, because if we run it in IE in the debug mode and then we shut down IE, it shuts down the debug mode in Visual Studio and we would never see the dispose method being reached. It would be reached and it would write out our text to our text file, but we wouldn't be able to see it. But if we do it in Firefox, which doesn't automatically shut down the debug mode in Visual Studio, we will see it reach that breakpoint. So let's make our website the startup project here, and let's fire things up. So here we go. We'll start it in the debug mode, and we'll let the web.config be modified to enable debugging. And the first method we should hit is our init method. And there it is with the application starting. We'll continue on from there and we'll next reach the onBegin request, which is the handler we added to be called right when the request is first initiated. We'll let it continue from there. And our page comes up. Now we haven't hit the dispose method yet because the application is still going, the page is still live. So we'll shut down our page here, and the application is still going in the debug mode in Visual Studio, but what I'll do is I'll go down to the local server and stop that. And when I stop that, you see that we reach the dispose method. We'll let it continue on and actually shut everything down. Now we'll go back over to our website here and just refresh it, and we should see our log file now, which we do. Let's open that up. So you can see here is the log file, and it parallels what we saw in the debugger. First we wrote out from the init event, then the onBegin request when the request first started from the web page, and it wrote out some of the information about the browser, the IP address, the URL, and then we hit the dispose event as the application shut down. So in this particular sample, we intervened in the processing of an HTTP module by adding an event for onBegin request. And as I mentioned earlier, there are a number of events where you can intervene and do various things. Here we were recording information, but you could perform any activity that you need at any of these points in time. In summary, in this video we learned how to create an HTTP filter by creating a class that implemented the iHTTP module interface. There were two required methods, dispose and init, which we implemented. And then there's a list of methods which represent the various points in the processing of a page where you can intervene and do whatever functionality you need to do at those points. In this case, we implemented the begin request method, which intervenes at the very beginning of the request process. And we wrote out some information to a text file to simulate a simple logging process. I encourage you to download the source code that comes with this video. Take a look at it in more detail. I hope you found this video informative. This is Chris Pels. Thank you very much for your time.